terribly say. We are on the Pevah with Aleph. Now we are really going to get into the thick of it. To an extent, what we were seeing beforehand was kind of like the preamble. So, a few words before we begin. When that's Pevah with Aleph, two, four, six, seven lines up from the bottom. The coming Gemara is going to give a few different. It's going to coming Gemara meaning over a while. It's going to be quite a few shiur. Is going to give a few different descriptions of tshuva or definitions of tshuva, things that it achieves, in very superlative terms, as we'll see. And these Gemaras, each one, there are basically seven such statements coming up. As we'll see right now, just in a very general way, tshuva brings remedy to the world, tshuva reaches the Kisei HaKavod, tshuva brings the Geula. We'll see. But each of these statements is a packed statement which contains an awful lot. There's a whole sefer, Tzedek HaKohen of Lublin, a very, very profound writer, prolific writer. He was just, actually it was his yotzeit last week, I think. Has a whole sefer called Takonas HaShavim, a whole sefer about tshuva, a very, very deep, profound sefer, based entirely on the structure of the book is these seven statements of the coming Gemara. Takes each one and just goes on about it at endless length. Okay? So the preface to these Gemaras is the understanding that is follows. If you learn the different sources about tshuva, you read different svarim about tshuva, you can come away with a bit of a confused impression. Is tshuva complicated, big, or is it very simple? You'll see some sources that make it into something endless. But then you'll have other sources, and the truth is the bottom line halacha. Tshuva is about three basic steps. Confess, regret, and resolve not to do it again. But you see David, right? You read Tehillim. So much of Tehillim is dedicated to the theme of David doing tshuva for his chet. He talks about crying his eyes out. He talks about always having, he has the chet hanging in front of him all the time. Etc. etc. So we have to understand. It's like Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Yehuda really lays this down. Rabbi Yehuda says it's fundamental to understand that lekol tshuva timotzei slicha. There's the minimum tshuva that we're talking about. That tshuva attains atonement. Period. If we want, we could really just close the lid on the discussion. If we're talking about tshuva in terms of getting forgiven, ensuring that you're not going to be punished. Basic tshuva achieves that. Now, we saw earlier in the Gemara, you might need to wait for your kippur, you might have to come along with some suffering, but the kol tshuva timotzei slicha, any level of tshuva earns you forgiveness. Now, Rabbi Yehuda goes on and says, and the truth is that the Ram takes this further in his drashas, he says, but understand something. And here's really the point that we're getting at. Tshuva, in its very basic, simple sense, is an after-the-fact kind of thing. In its very basic and simple sense, tshuva is an after-the-fact kind of thing. You messed up, you want to make amends, and okay, you gotta do tshuva. But the truth is that we have to understand that it isn't exactly so. Tshuva is something very beloved to Hashem in its own right. It says in Chazal that tshuva was created yet before the world. What does that mean exactly? Well, the significance of it, or part of the significance of that, is that the concept of tshuva was there even before the concept of sin existed. What's that supposed to mean? Right? What's that supposed to mean? As we move along, we're going to see that tshuva really is a very great and beloved area of avodah that Hashem very, very much cherishes. And here, well, the way the Ram puts it is, I'll say it in a little bit of a modified way, the way the Ram puts it is is that tshuva has the ability to bring a person to greater levels than he was at before the chet. Oh, that's interesting. You're saying how true the truth is. You're right. Tshuva very much is about it. Rabbi Yehuda goes on about that. How tshuva is the reason why it's so important to do tshuva quickly, not to wait till Yom Kippur, is because part of the idea of tshuva is, we discussed this earlier, to put you through a certain trauma, right? Of tsar, of regret, so as to ensure that it's not going to happen again. But the truth is, it's even more than that. People are going to make mistakes. It's a built-in part of being human. And therefore, in a sense, we might say, the fact that you're going to need to do tshuva is not something that came about after you messed up. It's really been built into who you are, the need to do tshuva. It's really built into who you are, right? You're going to make mistakes. Who doesn't? Ain't tzadik baruch asher yaseh tovah le'achor, right? Nobody's going to make mistakes. And in this sense, we might actually say that tshuva is there. It's one of the powerful mediums that Hashem created as a means of drawing close to Him. Now, theoretically, you wouldn't sin, you wouldn't need it. That's theoretical, but it's not going to be. Right? In the reality of our world, at least after the Chet of Adam HaRishon, there will be mistakes. Which means that tshuva is actually not an after-the-fact concept. It's set up that way. Now, we don't want to say that, therefore, go ahead and sin. Obviously, we're not saying that. We all understand that we're not saying that. But we're going to say something subtle here that could be misused. And this is a scary thing to say. But it's like Rabbi Yochanan said, there are certain things in the Torah that could be abused. But nevertheless, they can also provide room for growth, room for growing closer to Hashem. And therefore, we'll say that the person who wants to utilize it in the right way will utilize it in the right way. The person who wants to abuse it is welcome to mess himself up. The truth is, anyways, you're welcome to mess yourself up. Even without, you won't need this bit per se. But tshuva can bring a person to a situation. This is a very strange way of putting it. But tshuva, when it's done right, can bring a person to a situation where, in retrospect, it's good that the whole thing happened. Meaning, this is really just a saying in more drastic terms what we said before, that tshuva is capable of bringing a person to a higher level than he would have been without it. Now, we certainly won't use the words, it's worth it, etc. Chas v'shalom. We don't want to say that sort of thing. But it's important to understand this concept, that at the end of the process, it's likely that in retrospect you'll say, I have profited as a result, spiritually, as a result of this whole process. So I'll give a mashal. Every relationship, every close relationship. If there's going to be a relationship where you are never going to, you know the story of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, once asked the Talmud of his, shortly after he was married, he said, how's it going? The Talmud said, unbelievable. Pure bliss. I don't know if it was a month after they were married or what. Sarah of Shlomo Zalman said, pure bliss? Yeah. Never had a falling out? Chas v'shalom. Never had any sort of anything? Chas v'shalom. When the Zalman said, okay, you're not married yet. We'll speak a little later down the line. Now, there's a serious point there. The idea is, yes, when you're close with a person, when you're intimate with a person, you're both different people. There will be things. The Chacham has had to deal with it, right? The Chacham is not never to disagree. Turn yourself off. You'll never disagree, right? The Chacham is to know how to deal with it. Now, let's say we know how it works. Sometimes you're the one who deserves a kick. Sometimes she's the one who deserves a kick. Don't do it. Don't do it to yourself. Then yes. But sometimes something happens and you know, here I really messed up. This was me. Clear cut. You didn't say it at the time, but afterwards, when you're by yourself, right, you're eating yourself up, and you say, this was really my fault. I really messed up here. And you feel very bad. And she's very hurt. Okay? And you want to show her, you want to make it up. You want to make it up to her. You're going to go all hours, right? Whether it's buying flowers or whatever it is. But it can bring a person to a situation where he's going to be operating on a new level, right? He's going to be extra attentive and extra loving and extra caring to show, I feel bad about what happened. I'm contrite over what happened. And you'll see that this is not going to happen to you. You'll work it through. This, anybody who's been married for long enough can attest that this is something that can actually bring the bond to a deeper and more profound level. Right? And therefore, on the contrary, sometimes it's those altercations which are a part of, it isn't like, oh, would have been better if that never happened. These are parts of building the relationship. Right? And we have a pasuk that says, if we're moving this back into the realm of ruchnis, Sheva Yipol Tzadik Detach. The tzadik will fall 7 times and rise. Simply on the suit, the pasuk is saying he falls, but he's persistent. He gets up again. He falls, he gets up again. But no, this Chokotner has a very profound piece on this where he says, the Torah is the pasuk is not just saying that the tzaddik's attitude is I'm going to keep pushing at it. It's actually describing the growth process. What builds him is the fact that I fell and I came back with full vigor. That moved me up to a higher notch. That moves me up to a higher notch, such that the fall actually contributed to the growth. So again, we come back and we say, tshuva is a very strong medium of connecting with Hashem. Sometimes a person feels, I messed up in a certain way, I did a certain avera. I'm not going to be able to get back to the previous state. But you have to understand that that's not how it is. On the contrary, Hashem is saying, I so value it and I so cherish it. You are capable of coming and saying, I did wrong, but I want to get a clean slate again and get reunited with you. This is something that is an especially beloved and cherished area of avodah. So, this general understanding is important to have behind us. First of all, the understanding that tshuva is a spectrum. Tshuva can mean a million things. It can be something very minimal, which doesn't really change the person, doesn't really affect his life in a serious way, but it does the job in terms of not being punished. Or tshuva can be something, you know, the ultimate was Dovra Melech, who turned tshuva into and something he was busy with for the rest of his life, and it brought him to much greater levels than he would have been at had the whole thing not happened. In fact, Chazal say that Hashem, David was not at a level that he would have fallen into that of it. Just like we already know from other sources, right, that Hashem almost, so to speak, pushed him into it because of the fact that he asked for a test, right? But it was really for the purpose of Hashem knew that David has in him the ability to show all of history what tshuva can look like. And therefore Hashem put him into this situation in order to bring out some of the most brilliant areas of David HaMelech's life's work was his tshuva after the Chet of Bathsheba. So, as we're going to move along, we're going to be dealing with different elements of tshuva, different levels of tshuva. We're going to see varying things. We're going to have to fit each one into its place. What tshuva are we talking about here? What level of tshuva are we talking about? What element of tshuva are we talking about here? And one more point to add to this, which is a very important piece. What happens if you're such a good fellow and you never did do anything wrong? Okay? Are you never excluded from this whole discussion? Do you not have the opportunity to draw closer to Hashem? So really we have to understand that tshuva, there's no such thing as a person who doesn't have tshuva relative to, not just because everybody's going to mess up, but because tshuva really means, I'll illustrate this with the famous story, we've probably said it quite a number of times, the story of Sadia Goin. Sadia Goin was used to go on. He was the god Lado. He was world famous. Everybody around knew him. Knew what? He knew his name. Everybody knew who Rav Tzadik Goyim was. But it was before the invention of the camera, about 1,000 years before. And everybody was a household name, but people didn't necessarily know what he looked like. In this area, they knew what he looked like. In other places, they didn't. Rav Tzadik Goyim used to go on self-imposed exile. He used to go to Golis for different reasons. Many of the earlier great people used to do that for different reasons. He used to go on self-imposed exile. He would travel away from his house, travel for a number of, I don't know, weeks, months, whatever it is, incognito. Right? Anonymous, go from town to town, do whatever he wanted to be doing. And in anonymity. So, what happened once was, the Chazal Zalman has told this story, just without the name. But what happened once was, that he came to a town, there was a Jewish king in the town. And this Jewish innkeeper was a very hospitable, warm person. Greeted everybody very nicely, treated all his guests very nicely. Rav Tzadik Goyim showed up, very far away from his house. And the innkeeper didn't know who he was, and greeted him very nicely, warmly, like everybody else, and tried to make him give him a person's day. Rav Tzadik Goyim was sitting in the inn, and then a merchant from his area, this is the one thing, you know, Rav Tzadik Goyim was always hoping wouldn't happen when he's on one of his self-imposed galus. But someone from his area also came to that inn. So Rav Tzadik Goyim sitting there by himself at a table or something, which was a complete novelty. And so Rav Tzadik Goyim, do you know who that is? Yeah, Rav Tzadik Goyim sitting here in the list. And bedlam broke loose. All of a sudden, from all over the place, it was spread like wildfire. People started coming. The bunch with shyness and this and that, and people wanted to get a brach, and people just wanted to see him. And for hours, the inn was besieged and flooded until like the wee hours of the morning. Fine. And finally, the crowds left. So the innkeeper came over with tears in his eyes, and he said to Tzadik Goyim, "Please forgive me." Tzadik Goyim said, "For what? So I didn't treat you properly." Tzadik Goyim said, "You treated me very nicely." So he said, "Yeah, but I treated you the way I treat anybody. I try to treat everybody nicely. There's a whole different story. If I realize I'm dealing with the Gadol Hador, that would be a whole different story. It would be, you know, the red carpet treatment that I'd be preparing for weeks beforehand, right?" That was the answer. But Tzadik Goyim left. He came back home. He repeated this story, told it over, and there was something disturbing him about it. He was perturbed. And he said, "You know what? The truth is that that's really how it is with all of us in Hashem." Here we're getting into Chodesh Halvavus mode. But Chodesh Halvavus takes it as a given that we spend our lives deepening our appreciation and understanding of Hashem. Every day that goes by, and every week that goes by, you're dealing with a different Hashem. And Hashem that you'll have a broader appreciation of, a more developed appreciation of. And therefore, he says, a person should be doing tshuva every day of his life. Why? Because yesterday I didn't relate to Hashem properly. With what I know today, what I understand today, I understand that yesterday I wasn't relating to Hashem with proper reverence. And that's an ongoing process that never ends. Now, here already, obviously, we're talking about a more refined level of tshuva. But this is the point. The point is the understanding that you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't speak Lashon Hara. You weren't Mechalel Shabbos. Kol HaKavod. But why aren't you treating, why aren't you on a higher level relationship with Hashem? Well, I'm not at that level. Why aren't you at that level? You really should be. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm moving on to the next level. This is tshuva that's already, this is why really tshuva is something always relevant, and a person comes into the next part. He never reaches a place where he hits the ceiling. There's nowhere further to go in terms of my relationship with Hashem. There's no such thing. Because there's always more and more and more. So therefore, again, we come back and say, what we've tried to do here is broaden and expand our understanding of what tshuva is. Tshuva is not just Oh, you made a boo-boo, put a band-aid on. Tshuva is a very, very strong medium of bonding a person with Hashem. Or really what we'll call it is taking your relationship with Hashem to the next level. That's really what tshuva is. At a simple level, what that is you did an aveira, your relationship with Hashem has dropped. Take it back up. But on a more refined level, is I didn't do anything wrong. But there's more to be done. Take it to the next level. Take it to the next level, whether it's in terms of fixing a minus, or whether it's in terms of just moving on to the next plus. This is tshuva. What's that? Wait, that was? Oh, very good. Right, right. Stan is reminding me about a Chashev edition here. That was the Rambam, actually. Someone sent a letter to the Rambam. They had a problem. Kippur was approaching. Sat down to prepare the tefillah. He sent a letter to the Rambam. What should I do? I reviewed all the halachos, and I didn't do any of them this year. I didn't do any of them. What should I do? I can't lie to Hashem. I'm not going to say I did it if I didn't. Right? That's what you were talking about. So the Rambam responds in a letter. This is a fascinating letter, which actually is printed in the classic Pirkei Avos on the side. Perek Dalet. The Rambam responds and says, "Ilo yadata ochi anilbav." Apparently, he took the person seriously. He didn't just dismiss what he said. But he writes to him, he said, if you would properly understand our duties toward Hashem, you would realize, here's what the Rambam said, you would realize that not a day goes by where you don't transgress every single one on the list. Every single one on the list. What's that supposed to mean? What's that supposed to mean? Okay, Shabbatana with another idea. There are some that we struggle with. But there are plenty that we don't. I mean, Shoichat, have you bribed the judge today? Okay? Gilui Arayas, did you do that in the last week? Okay? Interest, did you go through the list, all kinds of different things, right? Did you falsely swear recently? So, but the chat is almost the same point that we're making here. There's averus on the coarse level. But every avera in the Torah represents finer elements of fine. It's a concept that has a very broad spectrum, right? And there are many things that are not going to technically be called the avera, but they're much finer, subtler. Like, for example, humiliating the person is like killing them. Right? That's a classic example. You didn't kill anybody lately. But humiliating the person is a finer example of, it's further along on the spectrum. Right? It already makes it out of the realm of the death penalty in Bezin. Right? It's moved beyond that. But it's further along on the spectrum of murder. So again, coming back to the same point. Oh, that's right. You're not a mugger, right? You're not a mugger. You never robbed a bank. That's right. That's right. So when you think of it, it's also, there's always room to grow in all areas. And this is very much what tshuva is about. So in a sense, you might actually say that growth is tshuva. That growth and tshuva are synonymous. Because whether it's rising above a proper avera, or whether it's simply taking everything, why am I in this state when I can be in a higher state? That is also the broader conceptualized concept of tshuva.
That's what it means by it was made before the world.
Oh.
Which is going beyond Derech HaTeva.
What's that?
Because it's going beyond the Derech HaTeva of yourself.
You're introducing a whole new dimension here. You're introducing a whole new dimension here. And we say that tshuva is created before the world means it's outside the confines of the world. Very good. Tshuva is calling on us to go beyond. We identify ourselves within a certain box. Tshuva is telling you, oh, you can actually get outside of that and get the places you wouldn't consider yourself capable of. Good, good, good. We'll see as we go along. Okay. Now, let me get the Gemara. Okay. So again, we are 2, 4, 7 lines up from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Chama ben Rabbi Chanina. Okay. Amar Rabbi Chama ben Rabbi Chanina. Gedola tshuva shemegiya rifus la'ayla. Look how great tshuva is. It brings remedy to the world. It brings healing to the world. Shema, as it says in the pasuk, El pamishu basam, I will heal their waywardness. I have nidavah, and I love them generously. Okay, so this is statement number one. Like I said, each of these statements, now the number of statements coming up, each one has to be properly analyzed. Each one is a whole lesson in the sugya of tshuva. So what do we mean by saying number one? Look how great tshuva is. It brings remedy to the world. What does this mean? So we're going to take the time with each of these things to give a number of approaches in order to really maximize the treasures that are contained within these gemaras. So, not sure which to call the more basic, the most basic understanding here. I mean, what remedy we're talking about? But we'll start with the Drasha Haran. Haran in his Drasha. He says as follows, and it says that it brings remedy to the world. What that means is very simply on the physical level. You're sick, tshuva brings remedy. Tshuva can make you better. You have bronchitis, tshuva can help. And this is really based on a very fundamental, simple, but profound principle. And that is the understanding that the physical and the spiritual are related. The physical and the spiritual are related. And it's like the Ramban says, in earlier times that the Torah says, we have psukim that we learn from, that doctors are allowed to heal people. The Ramban says, why do you need a pasuk telling you that a doctor is allowed to heal people? The Ramban says that in earlier times, people didn't go to doctors to be healed. Who they go to? They went to the Navi. The way the Ramban puts it is, earlier times when you had the being, why would you find a doctor in the house of an Oded Hashem? What do you do? You went to the Navi. He said, why do I have an earache? And the Navi looked into you, right, and connected to his divine inspiration, and said the reason you have an earache is because there was so much in horror going on, and you went over to have a listen. You'll do tshuva, you'll work on not being so curious, and you'll find that your earache will stop. You know, that was the way it worked. When we were living with the open presence of the Shekhinah, it was a lot more clear cut in terms of identifying the spiritual causes behind physical problems. It was much more clear cut. Today, since we're living in the situation of Hester, everything is much more diluted and vague. But nevertheless, this understanding has to remain. The physical and the spiritual go together. This is a very, very fundamental point, right? That's what the Gemara says. The person sees that suffering is coming upon him. What should he do? If Ashvesh Ban Aisar, they have to stop making introspection. They have to stop figuring out what are things that I have to fix. Therefore, the Chazon Ish talks about this. He says, we know that you're supposed to do Ishtaras, right? Person is Chas V'Shalom having a tzara, going through some sort of tzara, you have to do Ishtaras. You have to figure out who are the professionals that can help you, who are the experts that can help you, etc., etc. If a person has very great bitachon, it doesn't conflict. Bitachon is not supposed to conflict with Ishtaras. Ishtaras is something you're supposed to do. with the knowledge that it's all up to Hashem and He's going to guide your efforts. So the Chazanish says, what then? Will there be a difference between a person who has bitachon and a person who does not have bitachon in terms of the way he goes about these ishtatos? Meaning, even if a person has full-fledged bitachon, which Hashem still expects of you to go consult with doctors, find the experts, try to locate the professionals, etc., etc., right? So we can have two people. One is going about it with his own self. This is everything it depends on. It's up to me. It's in my hands. If I don't find the right guy, I'm doomed. The other guy goes about it. No, it's up to Hashem. I'm in Hashem's hands. But he expects me to go through these motions. So my two, they're both doing the same thing. They're both making phone calls. They're both trying to find out. Where will be the differences? Where will the differences between a person with the talking and without the talking? Where will it manifest? The truth is, it will manifest on the inside of the stress level. But forget the inside. The company says the difference will be that the guy with the talking is really going about it with the understanding that Hashem bought this on me. Hashem is controlling me. He wants me to do my ishtadlus. But my primary ishtadlus is on the spiritual level. My primary ishtadlus is trying to figure out what are things that I can do to better my spiritual state so as to earn Hashem's favor and perhaps get him to take away this problem. So the Drasha Taran says that's the understanding of our Gemara here. Understand this very fundamental principle that when there are material problems, look to see what can I improve. What can I improve? That should be part and parcel of troubleshooting, of looking for solutions. Okay. So that's number one. That's number one. Tshuva brings remedy to the world. Understand that you have a problem, ailment, illness. Start with tshuva. That's number one. This we might say, this vies for the most pashut understanding of this Gemara. But there's another one that also competes well for the pashut understanding of this Gemara. And it's Rabbi Yaakov Melissa, otherwise known as the Nesivat HaMishpat. He says, when we say that it remedies, what we mean is it remedies the person on the spiritual level, meaning it remedies the person's soul. The Rambam has a whole discussion about this. He says, an Avera, it's a problem. Two senses. First of all, because he did an Avera, he shouldn't have done. But besides that, it's also a symptom of a fault in your character, a fault in your soul. And therefore, if a person has a problem with a certain area, a lack of self-control when it comes to, I don't know, hives, anger, I don't know, whatever it is, lazy, etc. The Rambam says these all make for an unhealthy soul. And you have to realize, you go up to Shamayim, as we discussed this concept a number of times, you go up to Shamayim, if a person is put into a situation in this world, you're put on a very high class cruise with all the luxuries that everyone there has to offer, right? You're going to enjoy it to the extent that you're healthy, right? The healthier you are, the more able you'll be to experience anything, right? If a person is put on a cruise when he's in a coma, so being granted all the luxuries of the world, there's not much you can get out of it. What happens if he's not in the coma? He's not in the coma, but he's kind of like half dead. Barely sees, barely hears, barely tastes anything. They'll be sitting together with the other guy on the deck, facing the beautiful sea, with the music playing and eating all kinds of gourmet food. They're both in the same exact place, right? But it's two completely different experiences. This guy, one guy, is able to really take it all in. The other guy barely experiences it. He's enjoying somewhat, a little bit. He hears a little, he sees a little, he tastes it vaguely. Your experience of life is going to reflect your health, right? Or your health will determine your experience of life. You have to realize that this is how it works with Rumius also. Person comes to Olam Haba, put it to Gan Eden. How much is he going to enjoy? It's going to depend on the state of his neshama, the state of his nefesh. And the Rambam says, realize that averus / bad mitzvahs that are the root of the averus are illnesses. Forget faults. Illnesses. This is an unhealthy neshama. And therefore, tshuva is about healing. It's about making your neshama healthy. It's about bringing it back to a state that it'll come. You come to Shemayim, you'll be coming in there. Well, certainly not in a coma, also not half dead, but also not with dulled senses and barely functioning systems. You'll be coming in there healthy, robust, fully developed senses, and fully capable of really living. So that's number two. Maybe refuah la'olam. It heals the world. It brings healing to you. It heals the person's nefesh. Number three is, we'll call it the Maharal and those of this Maharal. Each one represents our school of thought. Now, Cook really brings out the point that with this number three, up to now I was saying, maybe reform or oil, but let's note that it brings remedy to the world. Why didn't the Gemara just say, it remedies the person, right? But it brings remedy to the world, not just to the person. Point to the person, it doesn't just to the person. Right? You have to understand what's going on when a person is doing truth. What's going on with Christmas? And this is one of the reasons why this is something so beloved by Hashem, the concept of truth, as we said before. Right? Hashem set this world up. The whole reality of our world is what? Is Hester. Hashem set a world up and he concealed himself. And all of history, Ramchal really talks about this at great length, it's a very central thing in the Sefer Das Twins. All of history is really headed toward what? The great revelation. Right? Bringing out Hashem, letting Hashem shine in full glory in our world. All of history is leading up to this. Right? This is timely. That's really the focus of the Tfilos of Rosh Hashanah, right? We're mainly diving to that. Let the revelation finally happen. Let Hashem just shine through. But the Ramchal says that every element of history, everything going on in our world, is the wheels turning, it's the cogs turning toward that revelation. Now, a lot of that is part of the effect of the revelation is the darkness that precedes. You know, if you want to appreciate light, it has to be preceded by darkness. Right? You want to... That's the lashon that's used about this. The more you want to bring something out acutely and sharply, the more you have to emphasize its opposite before it. Right? That's why you want to present something white, you put it against the black background, not against the white background. That's why photographers will make the background of a picture fuzzy in order to really make the main subject of the picture sharp. Right? That's why the day follows the night, you have the night and then the day. Right? That's the process of the spiritual process of Olam Hazeh. And this, each person individually is a part of this process. It's about bringing out throughout the Hester, throughout the concealment, or if you want to use a different term for it, it's throughout the cuckoo. things are messed up. We're in a messed up reality in this world where Hashem is going to be often concealed. And each of us through our avodah is bringing out Hashem's presence in our world, Hashem's presence in our lives. Something that could be concealed, the world could be a purely physical place, but we, through our actions, through our thoughts, through our words, through our lives, are bringing out Hashem. Tshuva is this on a microcosmic level. Right? A person created a reality of Hashem in the world, created a reality of concealment, a mess, for the purpose of moving it all aside and letting Hashem shine. That's why it's there. Tshuva is a microcosm. Right? We made a mess. We made a mess of our lives. We turned our lives into something muddy. Right? And now we're coming and clearing it away in order to once again allow the godliness to take its place in our life. Allow the godliness to shine through. Now, you might come and say, Oshkoyev, you wouldn't have made the mess in the first place, there would be no need to let the godliness shine through. But no, this is exactly the point. This comes back to the point that we said before. You did the Aveira already. Okay? You did the Aveira already. We're not discussing now whether you should do the Aveira. It's after the fact. You did the Aveira already. Hashem wants you to know that He does not view it that way. He doesn't view it as, you made a mess, clean it up. Like what? Oh yes, no. I want you to know that this is something that I cherish very greatly. This is something that actually reflects and parallels my plan for the entire world. There's darkness, there's a mess, there's concealment. And you are coming and saying, no, 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 no. There should be godliness here. There should be godliness here. And therefore, I'm allowing it, I'm making it shine through. I'm making it shine through. I'm illuminating that darkness that, again, I created. But Hashem says, Adarabba, fine, you created it. This is an opportunity for you now to partner with me in my grand plan for world history. There's a mess. You're going to clean it up and allow the godliness to shine through. That is something I hold a very great value. Now, here we have to understand this to the next level. This we talk about when we talk about revelation, etc., etc. So we think of it in very grand terms, right? The world is going to be rolling along throughout all the vicissitudes of history until suddenly Hashem will come and reveal Himself, right? And sometimes, you know, you wonder, it's like, is everybody suddenly going to see the light and do tshuva and acknowledge Hashem? We have to realize that this process of Hashem's revelation is not just something that the concealment just goes until suddenly, in one fell swoop, the light suddenly bursts forth and that's it, it's over. We have to realize that each of us is a part of this process. When a person does tshuva, when a person is doing tshuva, like we said before, where there was mud, now there's godliness shining through. He has done his share, right? Ultimately, that revelation is going to come out as, it's going to be revealed as a collection of the efforts of all the Jews throughout history who did their best to let Hashem shine in this world. So you have to realize, by doing your tshuva, you are adding that step forward. That ultimate revelation. The revelation is taking place today, just it's under the surface. Each of us is contributing it to it, just it's under the surface. We don't see exactly how much is already all there in place. All Hashem needs to do is come and pull aside the curtain. But behind the curtain, each Jew is coming and turning on the light, turning up the intensity of the light. And this is what we're saying. So your tshuva, you're turning on the light, you're illuminating your part of the Bria. You're illuminating your part of the grand scheme of world history. And it's not just yourself that you're benefiting. It's not just yourself that you're benefiting. You are actually benefiting the entire world by bringing about this effect. Okay. So that was understanding number three. Now, understanding number four. This we might say is the understanding. You understand that in the lowest level. Well, okay. Instead of trying to define it beforehand, I'll understand what the pshat is, and then you'll see what I mean. We mentioned Rabbi Tzadik earlier. Tzadik or Yehudi. Now we're going to come and give his take on this Gemara. Kamsa kind of turns it around. He says, Tshuva brings refuah to the world. We're going to see in a moment that Tshuva can manifest in a number of ways. He already alluded to this earlier. He said there are different levels. You can have Tshuva that comes across as recovery. A person was ill, now he's getting better. He's limping, but he's back on his feet. Right? And this is what we said. It's a low level of tshuva. The person didn't really turn tshuva into a passionate, I wouldn't say career, but a passionate process of showing Hashem how I would never do this again, how much I appreciate the fact that He's giving me another chance, etc., etc. What did I do? Regret, because I wanted to get my nose clean. Regret, confession, I'm going to try not to do it again, that's that. I'm going to see something. The Gemara says that this is called healing. There could be tshuva that's a lot more than healing. There could be tshuva that puts you into a state of, like we said before, it's not that you were ill and now you're on the mend. It's that it creates a reality that now, in retrospect, it's something much greater than you were previously, right? But then there's tshuva that's healing. It's just healing. That's all it is. You were sick. You're better now. You're still coughing a bit. You're still limping a bit. You might have to go through some physical therapy still until you're really back on your feet. But healed. So Tzadik says this is what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying tshuva is very great. It brings remedy. Meaning it follows. Even though Hashem intended tshuva to be something so much greater, everything we've been describing, Hashem is very generous. And therefore, even if a person just comes and says to Hashem, you know what, that's a little much for me. I'm a simple guy. All I want is to have my nose clean. All I want is to be out of the dark. But Hashem says, woman, who said I'm interested in providing you? You know, you want to turn this into something serious. But Hashem says, no, no. In His generosity, He's even willing to provide those very basic bottom line levels of tshuva. And this is considered a special chesed of His part. You're not really, you know, reaching out to Him in a very serious way. You're just coming and saying, Hashem, what do I have to do in order to know that I'm out again? Says, that's all? Hashem says, no. You want that? I'm going to grant you that. I have a package for that also. So, Yudreva Tshuva, look how great Tshuva is. It's almost like coming from an opposite perspective. Right? We're saying Tshuva has such great effects, it could be something so great. You look at it and say, almost the opposite. Look at the greatness of Tshuva in terms of that you're a person who's only going to get to the level of, I just want to be healed. I just don't want to be in trouble. Hashem will provide that too. Hashem will provide that too. And yes, you didn't turn yourself into something so much greater, but you're healed. You're out of your body. And this is important to understand, because we do have to have this lifeline. We have to have this lifeline. And we'd like to turn tshuva into something passionate, etc., etc. But we do have to have this lifeline of understanding that, yes, I messed up, whatever it is. This doesn't now mean that I have to get onto this intense track, etc., etc. First thing is, you want to be out of the woods, you'll get that. Hashem has that package too. Very interesting to note this. So Ben Yehuda, we mentioned a few times, Shari Tshuva, such an intense sefer, such a long sefer. It makes tshuva into such a big process, right? And there, like we said before, you have to be reading it alertly to see where he keeps on saying throughout the sefer, the face of tshuva will get you out of the dark. Ben Yehuda has a different work, a shorter work than Shari Tshuva. It's called Igeres HaTshuva, where he says something, he's singing a whole different tune than the Shari Tshuva. All different tune. And then Yehuda says like this. He says, you've been messed up in different ways. You have Averis on your head. You have faults that you really want to get past. He says, here's the way you do it. You decide I'm changing, and I just completely forget about the past. You yourself as a new baby. None of those things ever happened. None of those things ever happened. New baby now. And just start from today. The whole different tune. Right? And Shari Truly is talking about shedding tears for the rest of your life. Always walk up. Always walking around with the agony of the chet. And being mortified and constantly davening to Hashem to forgive you and forgive you. Here he's saying, you're starting anew. Nothing happened. You're a new person. Forget about the past. Right? But this is the point. This is the point. We have to understand. It's like we're saying. With all the talk about how intense tshuva should be, etc., don't get the understanding that tshuva might be undoable, or how can I do it forever, aveira, etc., etc. Tshuva, number one, is something very simple and basic, and it gets you out of it. After that, see where you want to take it. But it's very, very fundamental to understand that. Because the Baruch Bar Leibovich had his elderly father living with him. He showed him unbelievable respect. Baruch Bar Leibovich was a famed, legendary, right? Already in his lifetime, he was a legend. In terms of his shiurim, in terms of top levels, until today, is basically considered one of the staples of lovedness. Okay. His father was not the scholar he was. And Rav Baruch Bar used to treat him with unbelievable deference. He would bring him in with him when he was living with him. He was already a world famous Rosh Yeshiva. Right? He used to bring him into the shiur with him and sit him up in Israel. And before he would start his shiur, he would get his father's permission. And then when he would finish this year, he would turn to his father and he would say, "Did I say good?" His father, L'chayr, wasn't at the level of, I don't know if he understood his shiur. Right? But he turned to his father and he said, "Do you agree with what I said? Did I say good?" Right? Treated with absolute deference. And as his father was ailing, he was doing everything he could for him. But his father passed away. And Rav Baruch Bar was eaten up with guilt. Maybe I didn't do everything I could. Maybe I could have cared for him more. Maybe I could have done more. Maybe I could have extended his life more. And he was really driving himself down with his feelings. And those close to him, his colleagues, etc., were telling him, "No, we saw how you dealt with him. We saw how you how good you were to him. You couldn't have done anything more, etc., etc." And Baruch Bar wasn't that. "I know that I could have. I could have done this. I could have done that." He was inconsolable. At some point, he came to the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim went on a completely different track. And here's what the Chofetz Chaim told him. Here's Chofetz Chaim knew how to get into Rav Baruch Bar's head. Chofetz Chaim took the psychology. Chofetz Chaim looked at Rav Baruch Bar and said, "You're right. You didn't care for him enough, and you're responsible for his death." I don't know if he said it that way or he said, "Let's say," right? But he said, "Let's take the harshest scenario. You are the cause of his death. You should have done more." But he said, "Rav Baruch Bar, did you do tshuva? Don't you know that tshuva makes a person into a new person? Finished? Yes, you killed your father. Now you're a new person. Never happened." Okay? Now that's a... this is what was needed, I guess, to get Rav Baruch Bar out of that hole. But let's take home the point. The point is, now, if you kill your father, you probably need more than that. I don't think any of us are going to do that. But let's take home the point, because the point is such a strong one, right? You did tshuva. You did a basic tshuva. You are assured that that's it. You have a clean slate. Yes, what you did was wrong. But you don't have to worry about, did I manage to come into Hashem? You did a sincere tshuva. A sincere basic tshuva. You're assured. Hashem forgave you. Okay, let's stop here.